Welcome to Love Notes, where every whisper, every sigh, and every beat of the heart tells a story of love's timeless journey. I'm your host, Kesey Monique, and I invite you to join me on an extraordinary exploration of the most profound and enduring emotion known to humanity. That's right, love. Something we all desire, but often don't know how to get and keep. In each episode, we will dive deep into the ocean of love, exploring its myriad forms and expressions, from the tender beginnings of a budding romance to the steadfast commitment of a lifelong partnership. Love Notes is a sanctuary for all who believe in the power of love to transform lives and illuminate the darkest of days. Through intimate interviews, heartfelt anecdotes, and soul-stirring poetry, we'll traverse the highs and lows of love's rollercoaster ride, celebrating its triumphs and offering solace in its trials. Whether you're embarking on your own love story or simply seeking inspiration from the stories of others, you'll find a home among the Love Notes community. So grab yourself a cozy blanket and pour yourself a cup of tea, or grab your favorite bottle of wine or champagne, and allow yourself to be swept away by the timeless melodies of love's symphony. Together, let us pen a love story for the ages, one love note at a time. Welcome to Love Notes. This week, I want to take you on a journey with me back down memory lane when I went through so many trials and tribulations. I had to finally figure it out. I remember thinking to myself, I know somewhere I read in the Bible where it says there is safety in the multitude of counselors. So the story starts out with three different men that I dated at three different times in my life. And the last one, now you gotta get the book so you can get the whole story, the day I met my Boaz. The link will be in the description box. However, it was the straw that broke the camel's back. What ended up happening is I walked into his apartment with my key that he gave me because he was not answering his phone. And what a lot of men don't understand is when your pattern change or changes, we as women, we notice it. So in the interim, I was calling, not getting an answer. Calling, not getting an answer. Calling, not getting an answer. And calling and not getting an answer. Now this went on for several days. And finally I said, you know what? I'm going to go over there because maybe something's wrong. At one point, he called back. So I said, well, okay, he is alive, but something is just not right. You know, that gut feeling that you get right in the pit of your stomach. This is where it all began for me. I ignored every red flag known to mankind. I can't even tell you why. Or when it hit the fan, I walked into his apartment. He was getting ready to have sex with this older lady, like really somebody's grandmother, like probably great grandmother. He was getting ready to have sex with this lady for a flat screen TV. While I was not mad that you chose to do you, I wanted my belongings and I wanted to get out of there. But that went a whole different direction. So what ended up happening is the long and short of it, I had to seek counsel. And yes, I left that cliffhanger because you gotta get the book. You gotta get the book to hear the whole story. Nonetheless, I went to counseling because now I'm trying to figure out, what am I doing wrong? I am the common denominator in this whole equation. Why is the math not mathing? I literally had to figure this out. Well, what ended up happening, the first thing my counselor said after I broke that whole story down to her, even in the part where I owned my part, her comeback was this. And she said it so casual, but she was serious. And she said, you don't read warning signs very well. And my mouth dropped. I was like, say that again? She said, you don't read warning signs very well. And it was a rhema moment. In layman terms, all the lights came on and suddenly everybody was home. She painted a picture for me. You know the signs you see outside? You know, there's the red light, the stop sign, merge left, merge right, lane closed, hazard, warning, warning, warning. She was like, those apply to life as well. And I'm just looking like, oh my God. Oh my goodness. So from there, I set out to do my work. Healing was imminent. There was the denunciation of some things that I claimed, such as I want a man like my dad. Well, guess what? I got three of them. They were just like my dad. Different elements. I'll explain that in another episode. But be careful what you say out of your mouth, because your words have power. They have power, and your words have life, or your words have death. The Bible tells us death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I had to denounce the fact that I said I wanted a man like my dad. When my dad was on his deathbed, he confessed some things to me. It made me start hating my dad in a sense. And I had to go back and forgive him over and over. Even recently, he's been dead since 2006. And even recently, like within the last year, I had to go back and forgive him for some more things, and I had to release it. This was part of my healing. And it's not like you could put a band-aid on it and say, you know what? It's gonna go away. I'm gonna be all right. Oh, I'm good. I'm good. No, be honest with yourself. No, I'm not good today. I don't know how to overcome this. I did not know. I had no one to tell me. So guess what? I went to counseling, therapy, whichever one suits you best. That's where I went. So guess what? In the imminence of my healing, I began to set boundaries. And those boundaries were not to be broken. In the interim, I was crying out to God daily. I was pleading the blood of Jesus over everything that would come to mind that I just felt was just compulsively wrong. Things that I allowed, my anger. Yeah, I was upset with the guys I dated, but I was more upset with myself for leaving doors open and for allowing portals to be open in my life. And I had to forgive myself. But when I cried out to God, I would lay in the floor face down and I would cry out, Lord God, whatever this is, get it out of me. Because I didn't know the names of these spirits at that time. I didn't know who the strong man was. I didn't understand spiritual warfare like I do today. But I do remember hearing the Holy Spirit say, turn to Habakkuk 2 and start reading at verse 2 through verse 4. In the scripture, it says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Now, what does this mean? Let's unpack this real quick. You already know what write the vision means. So you're going to write what your vision is. The Holy Spirit gave me an instruction. Be detailed. Be very detailed in what I wanted in a man. Now, while my life was not surrounded by just the fact, oh, I gotta have a man. Oh, I'm gonna die if I don't have a man. That was not it. I knew that I was destined to be a phenomenal wife. I needed a phenomenal husband. I needed a husband with extraordinary character, integrity, dedication, loyalty. And it's like, whoa, where you gonna find all that rolled up in one? You gotta have about four or five different people just to get half of that. No, ma'am. No, sir. If someone purposes that they are going to be the best version of themselves, guess what? It's possible. Are you willing to heal? What are you willing to do to overcome this? What are you willing to do to make this happen? Because I'm hearing a lot of men say, we don't know what to do. We don't know what y'all women want. We don't know how to get to the heart or soul of a woman. Ha! Guess what? I'm gonna tell you. Stay tuned. So you write the vision. Make it plain on tablets. Okay, so back then they had tablets. They didn't have notebooks. They didn't have computers. They didn't have cell phones, as we all know. So they had to write it on tablets. So in today's world, you have everything at your fingertips. So whichever one you want to use, I say write because it helps you to remember and recall what you took the time to put on paper. Making it plain means you're going to write it so someone who is between third and fifth grade can read it and understand it. It doesn't mean you're going to give it to a third or fifth grader. It just means that someone in that age bracket can read it. Why is this important? Because you have a lot of people who may not have literacy skills. And if they're reading this, they need the blessing just like you. So you want to make it plain. Don't come in there writing your story with some big elaborate words unless you plan on taking an extra step and breaking those words down and putting definitions and all that good stuff. Now that's something I do. I will use elaborate words, but I also break them down and I also put definitions and I'll put examples of what this could be for me. So it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. So God already has the time destined for this vision. Believe it or not, He gave you the vision. So this is why it's coming up like it is. If you dreamt these things, if you've seen these things in your dreams, if you desire these things, and I remember my old pastor used to say, if you desire sex, you have the gift of marriage. So if these are things that you desire and you know for a fact you want to be married, let's get to getting, okay? Check it out. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. This is saying that the vision is going to come to pass. Now, what it's not saying is that there's a little bit of work to do in between, meaning pray over that vision. Every time you think of that vision, even if you don't have that notebook in front of you, what I used to do is I would close my eyes in a moment of silence and imagine myself laying hands on that notebook, and I would pray over it to myself. And I would thank God. And as soon as I can get back to my notebook, if I had to write some new things, if I had to change some things, whatever I had to do, I did it. But I prayed over that book daily and faithfully, right? In the interim. Now remember, I'm still on the imminence of healing. I was on my journey to healing. When I tell you healing looks good on me, oh my God, I wear healing so well today. Like it is a $1 billion coat and boots and bag that I'm wearing with a crown of favor. Listen to me, healing looks good. Let me tell you what healing did. It caused me to open up, be honest and true with myself. Own where I went wrong. Because see, once you own that stuff, once you start dealing with stuff, it can't keep coming back because now you're aware. See, when it keeps coming back, it's because you haven't dealt with it. So until you stop sweeping that stuff up under the carpet or sweeping it up under your bed, once you begin to deal with it, it cannot keep coming back in your life like that. Because now there's self-awareness. Now there's self-confidence and boldness to say, oh, I got the number to that. Turn it in the pages. See, on this date, this time, this is what I wrote. Nope, devil, you are a lie. Satan, get thee behind me. Get under my feet. We are not doing this. In the name of Yeshua, we are not doing this. You have no authority here. You know, call that devil out. Call those demons out. Even if you don't know the names of the spirits, call them out. God knows their names. Describe them. It's making me feel like this. It's making me feel like I want to do this. It's making me feel like I'm going here. It's making me feel like da 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 da. God know their names, even if you don't, okay? So these are things that I was doing now, learning spiritual warfare, but still not quite literate to the fact of how deep it goes. But check it out. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. So though it seems so delayed, like God, when? God, oh my God, when? Oh my God, Lord, can I just do this? Oh, it just seems so perfect. Oh God, I just love Him. Oh, I just love Him. He did do that, but yeah, I love Him, you know? And this dude may not be willing to work on issues. He may not be willing to overcome certain challenges. But you just love Him. You love Him because you're so tied to Him. You love Him because you don't let Him in places that He don't belong. This is why the Bible tells us, do not fornicate. Do not fornicate. And this is so important. I didn't get it back then. You allow your soul to be blended. This is why it's called soul tie. You're blending and you're taking in all the stuff that he carried from one to another, to the next, around the corner, up the street, down the block, and up the way, and back up the boulevard, over to the drive, down the avenue, and maybe now it's coming to you if you don't have no other stops along the way. All of that. So I say to you, even though the vision that you have written seems delayed, don't give up on it. Keep praying. Keep praying. I don't care how bad it seems. I don't care if it seems like, oh, he's going to marry somebody else and I thought he was going to be mine. If that's the case, maybe he's not yours. The name it and claim it game, and I'm claiming him. He gonna be my husband. Ooh, he's so fine and all this other stuff, and he just lack character. He lack morals. He lack good standards, good judgment. Ain't got no integrity. He lack it. So you just gonna marry him because he mine? Child, please. Let me tell you, the vision will surely come, and when it comes, it won't be delayed. It's coming, and it's gonna come at its appointed time. But then he goes on to say, behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Don't be too proud to heal. Don't be too proud to wait upon the Lord. Don't be too proud. Don't try to go make it happen. Don't force it to happen. If it's not your time, it's just not your time. This is where the rejection, this is where the abandonment, this is where stuff like that starts to come in. So in my writing, I did something called Dear Future Husband. It starts off like this. Dear future husband, there's some things I want you to know. First and foremost, among them being that I am ready to love and commit to you every day with every fiber of my being. I want to love you from the pits of my soul. I have been emotionally and mentally preparing for the day when our paths will merge and when our hearts will intertwine in a bond that is stronger than any force on earth. I want you to know that you are my love, and for you, this unwavering and unconditional love belongs all to you. It is a love that will transcend time and distance, a love that has patiently awaited for the moment when I can finally call you mine and you can call me yours. With every beat of my heart, I am filled with anticipation for us to build our lives together. I want you to know that I am ready to stand by your side through thick and thin, to weather life's storms together and emerge stronger than ever. I will crawl in a hole and live with you if that is what it takes. In your arms, I find solace and comfort in knowing that you are my safety zone. I am safe to trust you with myself, my flaws, and all in between, the imperfect me. I want you to know that I believe in the power of our love to conquer any and every obstacle that may come our way. With you, I am ready to face whatever challenges that life throws our way, knowing that together we are unstoppable. But above all, I want you to know that you are my greatest blessing, my soulmate, and my forever love. From this moment until eternity plus infinity, my heart belongs to you and you alone. I love you dearly, your future wife. What did I want in return? You have to catch the next love note to find out. As we come to the end of another astounding episode of Love Notes, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining me on this journey through the tapestry of love. May the stories that we've shared and the sentiments that were expressed continue to resonate with your soul, reminding you of the boundless beauty that love brings into our lives. Remember, dear listeners, that love is not merely a word or emotion, but it is a true force of nature, capable of healing wounds, bridging divides and gaps, and igniting the flames of hope in even the darkest of times. So as you go about your day, may you carry the warmth of love in your heart and share its light with all whom you encounter. Until we meet again for another heartwarming installment of Love Notes, may your days be filled with laughter, your nights with sweet dreams, and your heart with the ever-present melody of love's eternal song. With all my love, your favorite podcast host, Kesi Monique.